Okay, we're going back on record at 12:59 PM. Detective Fogg is back to begin testifying, still under oath. Detective, the interview that we just heard with Kenneth Walker, which began at 3:53 AM.
Yes, ma'am.
Then there was a second interview.
Yes, ma'am.
When did it begin?
It begins at 5:14 AM.
Okay, and... Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am.
From the last one, just based on the recording, do you know if they recovered the gun holster that you mentioned? That was recovered?
I'm not certain on that. We didn't have a photograph of it, so I'm not sure if they collected that or not.
Okay. And then the other question is, as far as the calls that we made, do you have recordings or record of those calls they made?
They had the 911 calls.
So they're not to his mom or her mom?
No. There's phone records, but we don't have the calls, no. No, we wouldn't have those.
So it can't confirm, or it can't
confirm? I don't have the records in front of me. I know on his recording, there is the 911 call. It sounded like he was talking to someone else. We don't know who he was talking to.
Okay. There was one other thing. In the last recording, it showed that there was about 20 minutes left.
That's when he was being photographed, is by the
constant. They just kept the recording.
Yes. He's getting photographed by the constant technician.
Sorry, one last question.
Yes.
He mentioned that she had a charger. What was the car that they were trying to search for? Was there a car as well?
Yes.
Was it her car?
It is for a 2017 Dodge Charger SRT8, and it is a registration.
And what color was that? Is it listed in there?
It's at red in color.
I don't know.
A 2000, and what year
he
was
said
that?
2019.
Yeah, this one says 2017 Dodge Charger. And this one has a Mississippi registration on the search warrant.
Okay, perfect. Okay, perfect.
Just to advise the grand jury in regard to the question about the phone calls to his mother, there is an interview that was conducted with his mother, as well as an interview with Ms. Taylor's mother, if you wanted to hear those. Those, as far as the phone call.
Do they mention the call? Thank you.
Okay, so the second interview with Kenneth Walker, you can play that.
Who was the guy that she was messing around with before? guy might be involved in anything that would link him to her, that would raise questions and... Sounds like you'd be a fan of this dude. He's a messing with your girl. She don't know if he was involved in narcotics or any kind of drug stuff that maybe he kind of used her as a, like, use her place, like a scapegoat, you know, or something that would get the police to go talk to her and not to him, you know. And if she kind of did him wrong and he was mad, and so he would say, hey, this is the address, or, I mean, you think.
That ends the second interview. A very brief one. Any questions in regard to that brief one?
Was there more?
So then the third interview, Detective Fogg, the third interview begins at 5:19 a.m.?
Yes, ma'am.
You said a.m.?
A.m.
What time was the second?
5:14 a.m.
You'll find that.
So we'll go ahead with the third.
Just changed the batteries. Time now 05. I'm sorry, go ahead. Priyana, right?
So it's Priyana. She said it's the cousin. I think she's at CO.
I think she currently works at June. I was going to, like I said, I lost my job in January, so she was actually telling me about a position open there, just working with kids.
See his name on her phone.
stealing her name and like I'm going to her house and that was my best friend. Like, so just like aside of our relationship stuff, even when that wasn't right, like we were still friends, we still family. Like I still talk to her mom, her aunt, her sister, her, and all of them have like my cell phone number, I have theirs, or I talk to them, and I wouldn't even talk to her sometimes.
Yeah, and they never mentioned a good thing about this guy, like, I mean, we don't like him, we don't want him, you know, because it seems like they liked you, you were that close with them, we even talked with them, even when we got dating at that moment, they can say that this guy's not good for her.
There's no reason. I've lived here for the last 4 days in a row. She's been at work, working 12 hours a night. The last 4 days, I've been over there playing my little game.
In her apartment?
In her apartment for the last 4 days. And today was the first day that she was off. And she was actually begging me she was going to go to work today at last night at 11 o'clock if they needed somebody to come in, but they never come. So, anyway, that's you, my brother, and she ended up going over.
Okay.
Okay. It's literally the only information I have about it. I don't have a clue why they were at the door. I know that they were coming to talk to me, but I heard there had been no reason for them to be so mean to them. There had been no reason for them to be even thinking about kicking the door in. Like, I'm sure y'all can look at both of our records, but never been. She's never been in any time. Trouble that I know. Like, she's never even been in jail here, but I just went to jail for the first time ever a couple months ago because I wrecked my car and got a DUI. And I'm still going to court right now for that. It's right now. Other than that, I got locked up in Warren County, Bowling Green, like 2011. I stole a hat from my mom. It's the only other time I ever been in trouble besides the DUI when they pulled me over or whatever, and they took my gun. And I went to court for that or whatever. They were trying to get me there and consider that or whatever, but they didn't smuggle you. Like I said, they haven't been charging me anything. So they said if I get a gun license, then they'll bump it down. Whatever, so then he just turned it in so it becomes like I had to come out and they gave me my gun back. So
did you drink it?
Well, yeah, but that's not what the gun situation was. I was just drinking. I had had drinks earlier, but I got a wreck on Marston Road a couple of, I think it was in like October, November. And I just wrecked my car. I hit another lady's car. I don't think I heard anything.
I used to smoke weed like a lot, but like I haven't been, because for one, I'm
really die right now, the only reason I smoke today is because I just took my drug test for the post office and for the other job that I'm gonna get. I took both of them like yesterday. So, oh, I took them sometime this week, so I was doing drug testing or whatever, so.
So how many times this week have you smoked weed?
Twice.
I mean, what about this month? How many times this month have you smoked weed?
Like five or less.
Okay. Is that bringing this in like five or less times a month? Or
well,
is it more?
Even when I was smoking, like, physically, I smoked like one entire my day.
One by half, like
when I got out of work.
Okay. Like,
I go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. I get out of work between 5 and 6, and when I get home, I get in the shower, smoke, play my game.
I got you. And like, when did that start? When did that end?
Smoking.
Yeah, like that, like after work.
Probably just whenever I felt like I didn't smoke weed until like 2012.
Okay.
Well, I went to WKU. That's when I started. I didn't smoke. Like when I was in high school and stuff, I played football, so I didn't have time to smoke.
I got you. So, maybe like 5 times this, you know, within a month period from now, and then what, like 15, 20 times prior to that month?
Yeah, I'd say.
Okay. Yeah, no worries. I just wanted to make sure, you know, you want to like, how I'll be right now. You know, no. Are you doing any type of medication or anything like that? You're just nothing like alcohol?
Well, I had a big margarita at Texas Roadhouse, but like I said, it was at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then her friend was asking us to take her to drop her kids off. So after we left from there, like, and I was riding with her, she was driving today, so we left from there, like, took her friend, like, down Dixie and dropped her daughters off, then we went downtown, like, to the east end and dropped the other daughter off, then we took her friend back home. PRP Ontario Road, and then we came home, so we probably didn't get home until like 9 o'clock after that. So by then I was long done filling that margarita or the little one that I smoked before me.
Just about eating, so everything was pretty just normal. Like I said, we relaxed. She relaxed in the bed. Like, literally the night was over, but I knocked on that door. We'd been asleep, I would have been asleep. She was already asleep, and I would have been asleep for the next 10 to 15 minutes.
She was hungry at all?
No. I tried to get her to before, but.
No. Not happening.
Good for her.
Man, it helped me kind of understand something, right? So I know you originally told like the officers or whatever, but she shot him.
Yeah, I didn't think that. I was just scared. I didn't want them to think that I was like on something where that's like when I first came out and stuff, I had no reason to say class and my gun's legal and everything. Like clearly I was scared, like I don't know, like nobody announced herself or anything. Like clearly, like I said, me and her have no dealings with the police or whatever, so if I were there at the door, I was the police, it changes the whole situation. There's nothing for us to be scared of. Like, we were literally on the wall, we were just on the phone and say, hey, like, what's the problem? What's going on? You know, even if we were, I would get detained or whatever for a second, I can talk to you, and I know I haven't done anything, and I know they have no reason to be looking for me. So there's no reason why I would be hot. Only reason I even had a gun out because we didn't know who it was. So if we knew who it was, then that would never happen. The only reason I even said something about the ex-boyfriend or whatever was like I said, neither one of us in anything. I can't for the life of me imagine why anybody would be knocking on the door at this time, but it's just like if it was gonna be anything, it could be that. What else? Like what other? I just don't know. you don't know what meetings after you have or these.
I know you have to so I don't know, you're keeping choice, you know, like, who is it? Is it coming? I don't know who it is, the door flies open.
So you got the TV on, watching the movie, so is TV loud?
If it was in the window, I'd say it's on my 12 or something. I should have liked the TV that loud. Like, if I have the TV, like, turn it down, I think I'd be so loud. Like, no, so wasn't that loud.
Music on during this banging or anything like that? Were you all in the process of being intimate or anything during the banging? Were you just laying there?
Right. She was asleep.
Yeah.
She had a private sleep for like 10 hours. I was actually kind of bitching at her because she wanted to watch that movie.
Yeah.
And she fell asleep.
Yeah, I agree. Man, is there anything at your apartment or anything like that that would not help us in this investigation?
No. Like, I literally don't understand this at all.
Yeah.
I have no reason. Like, I don't understand at all why I would knock on her door unless it was a mistake. Like, at all, I asked that out there a million times. Like, why were you at the door? Nobody had an answer.
That's what we're figuring out.
And I know it was a mistake.
She ever mess around with Wego?
No.
She ever white guy friends?
No. Not ones besides the ones they work with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I talk to them on the phone and stuff. Wow, she's at work, but she's never seen them outside of work. Except for like a coworker, they remember everybody like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you don't think she's ever messed around with someone that maybe she's never been?
Concludes the third interview with Kenneth Walker. Are there any questions for?
Yes, ma'am.
Is it normal to bring somebody Miranda rights after you start interviewing them? I mean, because they bring his Miranda rights in like 7 minutes and 45 seconds into his interview, the first.
Well, you can talk to them a little bit before you do it. But usually it's done right. Usually it's done. It doesn't have to be right done right at the beginning. You can do like questions or conversation, just kind of get to know each other. She admitted she made a mistake, but she should have done it a little early.
Okay. So, and he's in custody within the whole family doing all three of his interviews?
He's being detained. I don't know at what point he was in custody. He
okay,
was
detained. Okay.
I thought at one point they stopped to go down to Brooklyn after the first interview.
I think that was, I think after the first part, my understanding is they just took some photographs of him. And because they went to go do, from what I understand the transcript, they went to go check on some more information, and the crime scene technician came in and photographed his clothing and everything. I don't know at what point. He was taken into custody officially.
Anything else?
Was he asked to take a lie detector test?
We don't have that information. It wasn't in any of these interviews, which.
Okay. Detective, did you obtain a copy of the interview done by Public Integrity Unit of the SWAT commander, Lieutenant Dale Massey?
Yes, ma'am.
Who arrived on scene at Springfield?
Yes, ma'am.
After. And you have that today?
Yes.
Okay. Lieutenant Dale Massey interview.
Sergeant James Vance, Little Metro Police Department, Public Integrity Unit. Today's date is Tuesday, May 19th, 2020. And it's $1,300. For your request, I have 3672 Timber Boulevard, Public Integrity Office. This is a report statement from Lieutenant Del Massey. Statement is referenced to PIU case number 20-019. Present with me is Lieutenant Del Massey. The attorney is not present. And Sergeant Jeremy Ward from the Public Integrity Unit. Lieutenant, are you aware that this statement is being video and audio recorded?
Yes, sir.
Does this mean video approval?
It does.
Sir, please state your full name and spell your last name.
Larry D. Massey, Jr., M-A-S-S-E-Y.
And sir, what's your call number?
2459.
And where are you currently assigned?
SWAT. Special Operations Division.
And how long have you been in that unit?
A year, 3.5 years.
And how long have you been with the department?
19 and a half.
Are you under the influence of alcohol, drugs, or any other intoxicants this time?
No, I'm not.
Are you taking any kind of medication that would affect your judgment or your ability to think clearly?
No, I'm not.
So this storm, you know, covers multiple things. One of my passes, it doesn't cover this. Because it says short departments of care at 67C.326, I'm obligated to advise you that this is a criminal investigation, not an administrative investigation. However, you are not the subject of this investigation. Knowing this, are you willing to give us a statement?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, what this is a reference to is that, you know, we had an Officer Wall shooting on March the 13th. At 3003 Springfield Drive in the 3rd Division, and as a result, you know, reviewed body cam footage, and obviously just knowing, you know, the course of investigation is obviously SWAT responded to that location and cleared it, secured it, if you will, prior to PIU's arrival. And reviewing some of the documentation provided to us by CID, we did not receive an operations plan. So one of the questions we wanted to see if you guys were, I know you all had briefing before the search warrants because there was multiple search warrants served at night. Is it some of the information that you all gathered from the briefing, and what information were you all provided before that night?
Okay, yeah, backside. So we had a first one that was probably about one of the best. It was martial operation. Sergeant Cassie, Sergeant Martin, had performance on. So what kind of happens now with us is we went out of power score, so call me, put the sergeant, got into the planning phase of kicking out our officer who had retired to start our planning process. In a meeting a month prior, they brought up multiple locations. Our guys advised that, hey, we need to take this slower, you know, record 8 corners in one night, simultaneous corners around that business touch because they had danger of doing 2 locations at once. How about we do 2 this day, 2 next day, and so on and so forth. And there was mention of the address on Springfield that he must have Joe Cassidy. Fast forward to the week before, so he gets 2 addresses, both on Elliott, one's a vacant, right across the street from each other. Detective James comes in the night before, do the briefing. We bring both of them up on his end and our end. So he'll give us the intel behind his case, you know, what he's learned, what should we counter. Easily enough for us, we would understand that it was our 5th time, I think, in 18 months in it. So we have a pretty good idea what that was. Like, if they can next door, they'll have as well. He goes through his whole brief, give us his intel on his side, so we go through our brief on tactical plan. So what we've done since going full time is we completely overhaul how we plan wars. Back then, we take a lot of detective information and take it as golden, not anymore. And so often, there's no kids, there's no dogs, there's kids and dogs. So we have an exhaustive recon process that we go through. He made mention of another address, 2605 West Salida 9. May said something to the effect that we're going to do that at a later date, stops again. At no point did I ever hear the word Springfield mentioned in the briefing. So what else may have, I never heard it. But it was never said to everybody in any other words. We rolled out to Elliott with the understanding of who the ones that were on. Okay? Well, we're on the scene, so we're across the street from each other, so it's kind of a tactical destination, trying to play this house while you're working this house. There was like 10 or 12 people in this house. So I'm with a paracat in the middle of both locations, kind of just surveying what's going on. We're about 2 or 3 minutes that are working the door, we're calling people out, and on a SWAT watch channel, we're hearing shots fired. Wait a second, shots fired. Is everybody good? My guy's getting ready to leave here. He's like, yeah, we're good at the bridge board, whatever. So we got to leave the site when the phone comes on our SWAT channel. So yeah, Springfield gives the address, we can officer while shooting. I'm with a bearcat. So we got to gather our bearings. So like, we're talking about, you know, again, back to the point, we have no idea if they're doing more essentially. Gather our bearings, kind of get up the QRT together. I know it's me, Sergeant Myers, Sergeant Cassie, Sergeant Hogan. I know Scott Walker was driving a bearcat. I believe Chris Baker. There was about 10 of us that went over to Springfield. So Lee Molly, our 2 down there, get to Springfield. There was some kind of, as these cat situations unraveled, like the address that came in first was a different address than I actually had. So it took a little bit to get there. We had to actually grab the bearcat through a chain link fence because it was just a one-way and one-way kind of street. Get there, and pull the bearcat up pretty much until the side of the car, the driver's side. And I see to my right, a row of police cars, and what happened? We have to catch some 20 officers with long guns pointed in directly at the door, the side glass door. I see Lieutenant Hoover, Lieutenant Shot, who's kind of in there. So we kind of get our plan together. As we're rolling up, we're getting into, hey, the shooter's the 10-15, he's over here. He said there's a female on the side, there's something like that, but again, it's getting past these things are, you know, the exact murder. But to that effect, I was really confident that there was not going to be more resistance in the house, but we were trying to go check on the possible female, right? So, threat preservation of life. So, I kind of talking to Major Shad, to who I may get under my cover, because when I initially get there, as I'm looking for the slide, I saw our initial thought is, oh, we're shooting out the window at the police, right? That, or at the door, I should say. Get some more intel. I sent a team up there, and I kind of stayed behind the barricade. I said, all the patrol officers, check their rifles up, because they're still. Really just pointing, and they don't know what to point at, more or less. I mean, there's our identification, there's nothing to point at because there's curves and everything else. We're just pointing at them, just pointing. Get a plane together, they roll up, go to one side, look at our throw up. Ricky inside, and they can see down the hallway, they can see a person down. I mean, it was a crazy day, so they go in, search it, possibly more, hurt people, whatever. Come back out, get all clear. The patrol officer holds them on the 3 side, they're holding down another window, there's a white mallet, they had him at gunpoint, but I'm like, that's a different apartment, so that guy back there is fine. So, obviously, chaotic scene, do the best you can when you get there, try to slow everything down, and just, you know, try to manifest as much as we could and help them as best we could. But getting back to the tiny things, we had no idea that we're going to be at that point.
And as far as the information you guys received, did you all receive the search warrants? I mean,
yeah, what happened is I'll do a risk assessment matrix, the search warrants. We have copies of those. I bought an extra right now. I'd like to require them to give me a higher number for that extra. I understand things like passes and awards for different things where multiple people are looking at it, and unbeknownst to us, because we're supporting it. So, higher number. Some detectives will look beyond what the top of the loop that we supply to the bank that gets information. But at the very least, the risk assessment matrix, copy the HIDE number and actually search for that thing, which was the part.
And just for the tape, I mean, a HIDE is a decompletion site.
Correct, yes. Decompletion site, so sure, multiple units are planning police action at the same locations. Meant to stop the loop out, so the loop will shoot.
And during the course of your all's preparation, what significant, if any, information that you all learned beyond what was provided by CID?
This case, not so much because we've done the house before. Well, we've done it literally 4 or 5 times in 18 months. So we knew what we were going to get. They provide some information, I think, that they don't remember barricaded, but through months going by, we see people in and out freely. We're getting updates as we're over there, there's people in and out. I mean, it's a very high area, a 24 block alley. So nothing stood out. Other than there could be possible follow-up works later on down the road. We got the 2 locations we were here in that alley. It was just a house we were before.
As far as Springfield goes, you know, once you make it over there, you guys, you know, make it safe and secured for us, BIU, you know, how long are you going to see after that occurred?
After we called the house up there?
Secured it.
We didn't stay long after, probably 10 or 15 minutes. Just long enough to ride in that everybody was going to say. Like, there's no threats to the police or solution on that, or that they kind of helped they needed. I sent some a couple things to Major Shy. I put a little like, hey, we can try to get out. That's where I also figure out who did what, but I said, our role is the detective's parts out. I'm not going to say a part of that, and you should probably consider a couple things related. So probably 10 or 15 minutes.
Now, did you learn any information as far as, you know, that incident at on Springfield after you guys came out and while you still around?
Yeah, so originally when I was there, Detective Cosgrove was providing the best intel, best information out of anybody else there. He had a rifle slung. So I assumed, just having a rifle slung, he was there after the fact, okay? So I know the bank was involved in it. While we're on scene, we learned that Calico was involved in it. Like, I had no idea he was part of it. And then through the course of, Sergeant Burton attested this, a couple of guys with a neighborhood apartment, I'm sure there was no other casualties due to the gunfire. I don't know, at one point, they were pointing out the window, and Detective Hanks looked over and kind of made a motion like that, like, tapped his chest almost to say, yeah, that was me, type thing. So as we were on scene, it became pretty apparent to us what we thought happened, as far as what happened initially at the bridge point, and then when those however many rounds were fired through the windows and doors.
You said you learned that Cosgrove was involved. Did he tell you that, or were you told from another person?
I was told by somebody else, because I said, man, get him out of the mix, and he was still in the mix, doing stuff. I was like, get him separated from everybody.
Who told you that?
I really don't.
And was he removed from the scene?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And like I said, we're all there, and it's obviously hectic, like I said before, but I do remember saying, hey, separate him, he's involved, he was late, two of the mix, you know.
Sorry, Bert.
LT, going back to the briefing, I know there were two. Emily, they talked about one on Ali, and it was decided Ali would be done at another time. There was no mention of Springfield. Through our investigation, we've learned up to this point from the information provided by CID that Springfield was directly related to Elliot. Is it common with the amount of warrants you do for CID and other, I guess, units, if you have a site that is linked to other sites, would that be briefed during that time?
Oh, 100%. We should acknowledge what they're doing. And kind of that team too caught up in the rabbit hole here. Since we're full time, the team has got millions of dollars, not because of me, but because of guys. We treat safety very important, right? So like simultaneous wars, bad business. Some of those now, like we just saw, who's there to provide our priorities are people, right? So like, to us, we need to be briefed on everything, but at the same time, like, there's been some understanding in our practicing and the CID that we're not going to rush in and get dealt. We're not going to treat more important than anybody, right? So with the time, our tactics have changed as well. So they should definitely let us know as far as what they're doing so we can provide assistance. Because in a case like that, hey, if y'all actually make it to Springfield, y'all sit there and watch it, we can send some guys over, or if y'all are going to do it, let's get y'all there first so we can push harder your way to be able to support them. You know, from CID, I don't know how many awards they do a year, because we don't give ourselves one of them, obviously. But we always try to just push them the safest way to get the awards, if that makes sense. So they should definitely bring this on any location that they're going to be at. They're just so down.
Okay. And back to that point, I guess that the Elliott was deemed at the time, I guess those were the two targets. Was it known at the time the targets were at that location? Or were there unknowns where?
I want to say there was two main targets, and I don't remember the names. I want to say that the vehicles had come on one, or maybe two, the location, and one of the other targets. It was like three or four targets. I think at least one was in the other house. I think two were taken down as we were out, or as we were working at home, the first incident. But the timing of that, and I don't know which one was the main target versus the secondary target, they provided like three or four different names.
Okay. You mentioned an email to Sergeant Cassie about Springfield, and I guess he may have more intimate knowledge of that. But was that around the same time the other ones came in, like a month prior to?
Well, I was on a conference call with Colonel Chavis, Major Gregory, Major Burnbrick, and myself, talking about debriefing Sensei, kind of what we can learn from it, because I think there was some. I heard some things that came from the initial interviews from PIU that said SWAT narcotics or CID weren't communicating effectively. That was a cross-citation. Maybe it was my fault, maybe it wasn't, so we had to turn in the air. That was the first time I was ever made aware of that email because she provided a copy. But I don't think I ever received an initial email, and if we did, it was 30 days prior. So unless you mention in a briefing or tell us in a subsequent meeting, we're not going to remember the email you said straight from the other.
Okay. Colonel Chavis provided that.
I don't know, Major Burger, was it?
Okay, so Major Burger.
She brought to my attention, hey, this email existed 30 days ago, March, not 30 days, one of the wars, March 13th?
March 13th.
Maybe March 1st or 2nd, maybe 2 weeks, 2 weeks to 3 weeks. But I don't know if my email, I don't know that I received my email, I may have not phone check. But that was the first time that I recognized it, Springfield's mission.
I guess you know, I mean, afterwards, like the election meeting, I mean, clearly you had some concerns that night.
100%.
Did you voice them that night to anyone? Who did you voice them to, if any?
We talked internally as a team, figuring at some point we would call it here because everybody kept footage. Yeah, I think we were the most unaffected by that because we were after the fact. Obviously, we were there for the initial shooting. And generally, my guys, because they're in more stressful situations, can process information and slow things down.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about it internally, 100%. And you know, that's why I was kind of willing to earlier. It's like our priorities were people, our dope's way down here. So that's why we lose some, that's why we mitigate our actions. And going back to how I was before being in the meeting about the dope box thing, so these dope box boards, if they provide us one off board, you know what we do? We got beds. Okay, the only time we'll do a no knock war is if we will press one, if you're an explosive breach charge in the breach point, where you can't make announcements, right? And we usually reserve those for homicide suspects. So we would take the extra step, yeah, it's a no knock war, but we're still going to have the outside presence just because of the initial danger of the breach point.
Well, that's actually a good question. Did CID request a number? Did you tell CID that you all requested a no knock on Elliott?
Did not. We did that in the past. Elliott, when you enter the, if you're all, you enter a common area, and that's where they do all the drug drug sales, a lot of the churches hang out at. Every time we walked in the house, we encountered people immediately at the threshold. We wouldn't enter the house. We called them out to us. We called every single person out to us on Elliott. I left that time with the time before, called everybody out, so there was nobody in the new building secure. So that the house had my trip recently.
And had you known that CID was going to serve that corner on Springfield, would you advise them not to do that?
I would advise them 100% to do it until we're done doing what we need to do. Like I said, we can't do every single.
Thank God.
We can't do every single floor for them. So if she was at one of the majors, which I never saw that majors, so part of it, I can't speak to what she would have put up with the majors at all, I don't know. And I tell people, like, when you use a SWAT team, that's a higher level of force. So we can't do every single war the way we do a SWAT. But I was definitely going to tell them, hey, wait till we're done, we can put some on our team, or give them all sort of options. And we can send 4 or 5 guys over there after the fact to just do some call out, because if the warrants for money, which is my understanding of what it was, is there's people with money there, you can't put short of money, they're not going to short money, just call out to you, like, if you want to reach the door, reach the door, make an entrance, this police, you know. So we can take the triage for work that way. It's just the way we operate tactically, the way CID operates tactically, they're completely different.
And not to be a dead horse, but the breaching of Elliott, there's no mention of Springfield, so is it safe to say no Matrix or Ops plan, anything, or no knowledge whatsoever about the warrant being conducted at the same time at the Springfield?
No, I'll take that part. I've never received a Matrix from CID that we do a warrant. That's a policy thing, so it's not a UO thing, but I've never received a Matrix from all of us that do the ones that we do.
What about the operations plan? Did y'all receive one of us?
No.
So nothing
still happened to this point?
Exactly.
What about some Elliott? Did you receive one there?
So when we do the awards, we have to do our own ops planning. So if they provide us the information, I'm going to send them back to the past about what we're here, our lives, I'll look at it. So I would say the information they provide, we come up with our operations plan, because our planning process is more intensive than theirs. So as long as they bring the board and the matrix, I mean, we need to plan for it ourselves, because we're the ones that are going to be executed. Okay.
Back at Springfield, when you arrived on scene, you had mentioned something when you first arrived on scene. It was your initial thoughts that officers were receiving fire through a sliding glass door.
Yes.
Can you kind of expand on that a little bit?
So, as we begin there, we hear that there's a rifle, we kept on hearing that number. So, my assumption was when I saw the number of what I thought to be initially exit, bullet through the windows and sliding glass doors, I was assuming on the angle. That's what I shot as a regular approach. Now, figure out now it's a breach warrant. So then it becomes pretty ready to go. It appears to me that those rounds, after 3 or 4 minutes, they came from outside. So those rounds that went inside and I thought initially were coming out were actually going in the apartment.
Okay. And you may or may not remember, because it's been a while, it's gone past. But on that sliding glass door, do you remember, were there shades or anything over that door? Could you see in the apartment?
I want to say it was those white purple lines that I couldn't remember. There's something, there's definitely a white barrier in that, and you couldn't see any windows that I could see. I mean, because we couldn't even see any light or darkness, it was just like I said, just a white.
Okay. And in your Australian experience in training through the department, is it pretty much given that we're trained to, you have to identify the target? As far as training, then just kind of your own continued training.
Yeah, 100%. It's hard identification and knowing where your backdrop is are probably the most important things as far as when you fire your weapon. 100%. Like, you have to know A, what you're shooting at, B, what's in front of it, B, what's behind it. There's no other way you can operate.
Yeah. And this is a question I'm not sure you can answer, or the appropriate person to ask this, but you know, since you have a lot of weapons training experience, If someone is to fire a weapon in an illuminated area into a darkened area, would that muzzle flash project into that dark area?
If it's covered by cloth, windows or something, are you going to hear would probably be a very rapid fire of gun that you could mistake for property. I don't know. Like, you could definitely have to see if they're at the breach point. Because again, like I said, initially, we were like, oh, we're coming outside, and then we moved over, kind of saw the door, and oh, there's the door, and then they had worked on the sergeant had right in front of us. So I was like, okay, that's why I said more information on what happened over here.
And one more question. So this table is about 36 inches wide, and the entry door at this apartment was 36 inches, was the biggest entry door they had. Is it practical, or is it even common for not just SWAT? I mean, clearly SWAT works, and they have different tactics, but for any, you know, CID unit, investigative unit, when they do an entry into the house, would it be common for three people to be in what we consider the federal funds?
Absolutely.
So you've been here almost 20 years. Have you ever seen where someone's punched out like this? Cover two, if you will. So first light, cover two is punched out, maybe behind a little bit, and there's a third person between the first light and cover two. Have you ever seen that?
No. Not in any kind of scenario where you're trying to knock in, skip the blood, cut something on the street, but not in the neighborhood, yourself, that's the choice.
But even, in your experience, and just, I know you had experience in the Second Division Impact, or Flexington, have you ever seen anyone run this hard?
No.
Back to the scene on Springfield when you arrived, you mentioned that you learned Detective Cosgrove actually had fired his weapon. And I think you may have said it, and I missed it. You advised someone that he should probably be secured. Who was that?
I may have said something to Lieutenant Hoover. Because it was kind of, because you're the third division major was there. Yeah, I don't know if it was from the beginning, but I remember saying, I think it was the Lieutenant Hoover, man, you had to separate. He was too involved with what was going on when we went there. He needed to be checked out. He needed to be off the side of the emotions, the drill dump, He provided the best information, but you're not getting the best intel. He still needed to be out of the mix.
Okay, so at that point, the major of the division.
He was already on the scene when I got there. They had another situation in the third that evening they called me about. It didn't rise to our level of need to assist, so we had a description of the rules of Elliot. So by the time I got there, he was there. There was probably 78 police cars. But we didn't come from our block Elliot all the way. I mean, we were by the road for 25 minutes. 20 minutes just get there very fast. It's exactly so. Yeah, he was already there.
Okay. Other than. And how our structure in the department is set up with officers such as detective sergeants, lieutenants, majors, and up above. Lieutenant Hoover would have been in charge of that activity or that one.
If he was there.
If he was there for the beginning of it.
But then he kind of gets murky after our major shows up. Hey, it's not my unit, but it's your division, so with OICS, but.
Okay. That's
awesome. That's all right. Just a few more questions, I'll take. Are there any other questions we have not asked you, or any other information you have that may be beneficial to this case?
I mean, just based upon what we saw that night, I haven't been privy to any of the investigation. Just the, and not so much my interaction with Detective Anderson, but with my guys. We just got the feeling that night that, something went bad. And that deterrent identification, we don't think, again, we did the investigation just based upon our initial, what we saw, what we were told, how we replayed the thing, because we want everybody to say, right? That's our ultimate goal. We don't want us getting hurt, innocent people, and even the bad guys. I mean, if no one's got a doubt about that, that's $14,000 is worth it. Anybody knows not worth it either. As we debriefed the county government, it was just an egregious act. I mean, from a law perspective, like that is the fact that other details come to light, it is what it is. But it's just, it seemed like there's no target identification whatsoever for those rounds and shots on the part.
Can you follow?
On Elliot, who was in charge other than you all, can you think of any command who is in charge down there from CIP or?
Sergeant Farm was there. I don't remember. Was Lieutenant Huckleberry there? I don't think he was. I don't know. I think Colonel Chambers was out with him at night. I mean, I think she was out by the way. She may have got out with us. I don't know if Major Burnett was out or not. So they didn't come over here. The only person from our college said they came over here was the Captain Chambers. He's the only person that we knew for a fact was there. And he told us, hey, I had Sergeant Farm on the backside. And he may have just some other people that were there, but they were already in place at the high because of the scholars. So I know James over here was actually
Okay, which is an uncommon. If he's the lead investigator, he's
going to be. We actually have our investigating partner because if you have 30 people here, he's still out of the way and can't get a brief.
Okay. Is there anything you want to say for the record before we end?
No.
Is everything you told me the truth, the best you know?
Yes.
We would not include a statement timed out approximately 13, 20 hours.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you say they were there 21st and Elliott before they got there?
24th.
Yeah.
24th?
Yes.
He spoke really fast.
Yes, he
did. You all have a transcript.
Yes, we do.
I was curious, he gave sort of a explanation of the no-knock policy, or...
I think he gave an explanation of his.
Yes. I was just kind of curious as to how they approached that.
While we're looking, Mom, Ms. Weather's looking that up. You had a question. Yes, ma'am.
I have a transcript question. Me too.
Yeah, he spoke really fast.
Yes, he did. So,
right.
All right, let's get this one. Let's get this one.
Yeah, the last part is what I just wanted at the front. He said, asking other questions, and he got a statement that
that's
what that
was. That is the only one
else.
Yeah,
mine is it. I mean, he can replay it, but it doesn't. He speaks so fast, or I don't know. I was like, what?
He can always come back, because I have another word.
Okay, listen, please. This is reference to the no-knock. Okay, we talked about it internally. 100%. That's what I kind of... to early, like our priorities are people, like Dope's way down here. So, and that's why we move slower. That's why we mitigate our actions. And going back, I know there, it's really big in the media about the no-knock being thing, so these no-knock warrants. If they provide me with a no-knock warrant, you know what we do? We knock and announce. Okay, the only time we'll do a no-knock warrant is if we're, he says something, if we're blank one, if we're doing explosive breach charge at the breach point where you can't make announcements, right? And we usually reserve those for homicide suspects. So we even take the extra step, hey, it's a no-knock warrant, but we're still going to knock and announce our presence just because of the initial danger at the breach point.
Okay, and this warrant was executed according to the investigation detective where there is actually a photograph of the whiteboard.
Yes.
Where it is stated, knock and announce.
Yes.
For the Springfield. Correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know if the timestamp helps, but it's around 27.45. Right after he talks about wasn't an egregious act. And then there's something about justification.
Yeah, there was no justification for the rounds being fired.
That's what I wanted to hear when he said.
Page 27. Yeah, hold on.
While she's doing that, this may help you. We'll get back to that.
Page
I'm going to read this. Like, answer that. We're going back to your question. 16. Okay. Actually, it's the same one. He asked, are there any other questions we have not asked, or you, or any other information you have had that may be beneficial to the case? This is Lieutenant Massey. I mean, just based upon what we saw that night, not having been privy to any of the investigation, just the and not so much my interaction with Detective Hankinson, but with my guys, we just got the feeling that night that, you know, something really bad happened and that the target identification, we don't think, and again, we didn't do the investigation, just based upon our initial, what we saw and what we were told, kind of how we played the whole thing, because we want everybody to be safe, right? That's our whole ultimate goal, is we don't want us to get hurt, innocent people, and even the bad guys, I mean. If no one's got to die, they don't have to die. Like, that's $14,000 isn't worth it. Any amount of dope's not worth it either. As we debriefed and kind of looked over, it was just an egregious act. I mean, from what our perspective, if that's in fact what happened, have other details come to light, it is what it is. It seemed like there was no target identification whatsoever for those rounds that were shot outside the apartment.
Talking about detective.
Yes.
Those would be the shots coming through the window. Mm-hmm.
He's referring to Detective Hankinson.
Right.
Yeah.
And he said no target identification.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
That's correct.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Yes.
When he was discussing, when they were talking about the blinds,
yeah.
Was his answer that can't really see muscle fibers?
That's Paige.
Yeah.
Wait, but we can get there.
That's what I was asking.
Why not even go to the front? Couldn't see anything inside the door or the barrier.
Start with page
20. Well, he also said you couldn't see.
Yeah, page 13. Mm-hmm. Page 13. Line
560.
560, yeah.
Okay, vertical blinds, this is Lieutenant Massey. I could not see anything in the apartment. I want to say it was those white vertical blinds, but I could be wrong. It was something. There was definitely a white barrier in that, and you couldn't see in any of the windows like there that I could see. I mean, because we couldn't even see any light or darkness. It was just like I said, just the white. I believe they were vertical blinds.
Yeah, and then they asked a question. Then there's,
okay, I got that to the bottom. Question one is, and this is a person I'm not sure you can, this is a question I'm not sure you can answer or either. You're the appropriate person to ask this, but you know, since you have a lot of weapons training and experience, if someone is to fire a weapon in an illuminated area, into a darkened area, would that muzzle flash project into that dark area? If it's covered by cloth, windows and stuff, no, you wouldn't see anything. Yes?
This is directed, I think it was about Hoover, but it was basically, I'm just trying to get the gist of what he's saying, not saying that this is the way everybody does it, or that this is the only way to do it, but I guess, is he implying that if someone is involved in this, they should be
separated
from when SWAT goes in and everybody's checking everything, that they should be removed and not?
Yeah, yes, best practices, anybody involved in a shooting like that should be separated.
He's talking about cops, bro.
He's talking about
Now, best practices, and that's what he's saying. Cosgrove was still given briefings and talking to, and Lieutenant Massey at some point tells someone, he can't remember, that he needs to be separated.
Okay.
Cosgrove needs to be separated from. Yes, ma'am.
Search warrants. He made a comment about the search warrants, like we need to do them. Is this something the search warrants are done by regular police and SWAT, or SWAT's the only one who does search warrants?
Both, because...
I figured both, because this is their normal role.
Well, and SWAT, from what he said, SWAT serves the higher risk warrants. He wasn't apparently, according to his statement, he wasn't aware of Springfield occurring at that time. But he would suggest to just wait till we get there to assist.
Right. But they did say they were all in the same briefing. Things we've heard is they were all in the same briefing.
But if you remember...
But SWAT went someplace else first.
You've got your briefing on Elliot and then...
But if you remember what Lieutenant Massey says, he doesn't remember during the briefing Springfield coming up.
But
they had a separate SWAT briefing, yes.
They did.
Oh, okay. Two separate briefings.
Two separate briefings. Yes, sir.
The lieutenant from SWAT, if I'm right, they have a procedure on how to enter for a no-knock. And it was his statement that he felt like they should have waited for SWAT to employ that procedure. Is that correct?
But they were going to, the detectives were not going to, they not agreed that it was not going to be served as a no-knock warrant.
Right. But what I'm getting at is there is a procedure.
Well, it's SWAT's procedure.
SWAT's procedure, okay.
SWAT's procedure.
Okay.
Ma'am?
Yes.
Did you have something?
I did, but I'm going
to... Okay, yes, sir.
Several of them have mentioned the matrix. And I'm assuming that it's a risk matrix where you do a risk assessment of before the entry?
Speaking generally, yes. I don't know the specific standards or what they look, but yes.
But that's the procedure.
Yeah, that's Louisville.
They go through what could go wrong, what will go wrong, what could go wrong.
Who's there? Anybody, I would assume anybody that's got any possible weapons, any...
And then they assign a risk assessment to that, a number or something to that to figure out whether it's high risk or minimal.
Or exactly, whether they need to involve SWAT or whether it's a lower level of threat. So.
And he did confirm that he did not see or know the operational plan for Springfield.
That's correct.
Or a matrix for that.
Correct. Yes, ma'am.
But basically, he was briefed 2 weeks prior, right?
There was an email that he originally said 30 days prior, but then later on it says maybe 2 or 3 weeks prior.
So Springfield wouldn't have been involved since it was only issued the day before.
Yes.
Well, before the briefings, SWAT had their own. Were they also included in the everybody briefing?
My understanding is yes. Because that's when...
Something been mentioned about Springfield in the everybody briefing. He, theoretically, should have been in there and should have heard about that.
Well, if Lieutenant Massey, I can't go to theory, but Lieutenant Massey said that he was at the briefing. He says he doesn't recall Springfield being brought up, but then one of the interviewers said, well, Springfield was connected to Elliott, correct?
This is an Elliot one that even over there, they didn't enter.
He said
they had everybody come out.
He said they called them, more often that they called them out
because
they're out in the breed. They were in the front area apparently, and they would just call them out. That's what he said.
So their assessment on Elliot, it is better to have them come out than for them to go in.
Did you say one of the buildings on Elliot was a bank building?
He may have, but we're trying to focus
on Springfield.
Right.
So his assessment for Springfield is he didn't even have any of his people at Springfield.
Well, according to him, he didn't know Springfield was going on. Say again?
I need to take a break.
Okay, break time.
Okay, we'll take a break now, so we'll go off record.